Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise ye the Lord. Yes, you are once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform, and for those of you that have tuned in for the first time on tonight, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight, none other than the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, Deacon Edward Blakely, will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd of the Morning Star Baptist Church. Matter of fact, he just left my house a few minutes ago before we came live. So I thank God for being able to see Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. a few minutes ago. But Deacon Edward Blakely is going to be bringing forth God's word. And I don't want you or any listener to ever think that we make it up things as we go over this worldwide platform as we deliver God's word. God's word says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So that's why it's important that you have your own Bible, so that you can follow along. So whoever is bringing forth God's word over this worldwide platform, you'll be able to read the word of God for yourself. We always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please pray with me, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know that there is none like you in all the earth. You are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You don't get amnesia. You don't forget. You are a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people all over the land. So we give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you have allowed us to wake up and see this a brand new day that you have made. We thank you for every angel that you have kept all around your people throughout the day and throughout the night as we slumber and sleep. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit that lives and resides in every believer in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Edward Blakely and his entire family, and all saved believers all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even though we are saved in Jesus' name, sometimes we do falter and sometimes we do sin. So we thank God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that through him we can be forgiven and be put back on the right track so we can move forward and complete and fulfill our God purpose in the earth that we give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we come now asking that you would move by your spirit, console and comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved on tonight. I lift up my sister in Christ, Sister Lord Jesus, Brittany, Lord have mercy. She lost her son, Bridget. I'm sorry, Sister Bridget. You know who she is. She lost her only child day before yesterday. He made his transition. So she's still in the process of making his final arrangements. So we ask you that you would be with her because she is the only child. And her mother had made her transition a couple of years ago. So she, sometimes I know that she may feel like she's all alone, but let her feel your presence. Let her feel your peace and your joy, even in her hour of bereavement. Not only her, but all those that have lost loved ones, even for those in the Asian community down in Atlanta, those 8 lives that was lost due to the madman that went and killed all those 8 people down in Atlanta this past week. Touch and comfort and strengthen those families in the name of Jesus. And all those that have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus or for whatever reasons, we know that you are a comforter. Let them feel your peace, your presence, your joy, even during the hour of bereavement, that you will get the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. We now pray and ask that you will move by your spirit over this airway, Heavenly Father, on tonight. Should there be any listener that is not saved in Jesus' name, prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your man of God, Deacon Edward Blakely, through your word, as you use him through your Holy Spirit, to speak a word into their lives, that they will open their own mouth, confess their sins, and they will ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and into their lives and save them from their sins so that they can be saved in Jesus' name and they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their individual God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. Continue to bless every faithful listener that tunes in to this worldwide platform and ministry. Even for those that have tuned in for the first time on tonight, continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer, that they will give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, on tonight we do have another scripture food for thought. Tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, most people do not resist change, they resist being changed. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought. And this is a personal something. I think this is a personal spiritual proof of thought for every last one of us, including myself. Again, it says on tonight, most people do not resist change. They resist being changed. So right now I am going to go to my music break. But before I do that, I have a few announcements. I'm asking all the listeners, if you would please write down these announcements. Every first Thursday night, coming forth over this worldwide ministry and platform delivering God's word, the man of God, Minister Tawan Eppinger, he is also a member of the Morning Star Baptist Church. He brings forth God's word over this worldwide platform and ministry every first Thursday night. Again, Deacon Edward Blakely, the Sunday School Superintendent, he delivers God's word over this worldwide platform every third Saturday night. So he will be bringing forth God's word on tonight very shortly. Minister Tawan Eppinger have a prayer line that goes every night, 7 days a week. It starts at 9 o'clock p.m. So if you have a pen or paper, you might want to write this prayer line number down. If you want to call in and seek prayer for yourself or your family members, or you want to stand in the gap for someone, Minister Tawan Eppinger has a prayer line that comes forth every night, 7 days a week, starting at 9 p.m. His prayer line number is area code 602. Again, it's 602 area code 610-2081. Once again, the prayer line for Minister Tawan Eppinger every night from 9, it starts at 9 o'clock p.m. Area code 602-610-2081. And the access code is 913-927. Once again, his access code for the prayer line is 913-927. I am so grateful for God blessing my youngest, one of my nieces. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, thank God. But he has blessed one of my nieces, my youngest brother, retired police officer Herbert Charles Brown. He is the author of the book titled Don't Skip the Process, Making Life Challenges Work for You. He will be my special guest on April the 15th, my youngest brother, Herbert Charles Brown, again, the author of the book titled Don't Skip the Process, Making Life Challenges Work for You, will be my special guest on April the 15th, that's Thursday. His book is now available at Amazon.com. But God has blessed his oldest daughter, Kayla Brown, to obtain her realtor's license. She's now a part of the realtor company titled Century 21. She is a realtor at Century 21. Her name is Kayla Brown, K-A-Y-L-A, Kayla Brown. So if you are in the Michigan area and if you're looking to purchase your first home or your dream home, let Kayla Brown help make it a reality for you. She can be reached at area code 313 is her cell phone number, area code 313-992-5562. Her office phone number is area code 734-464-6400. And her email address is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, Kayla Brown, .c21@gmail.com. And then don't forget, my youngest sister's, her children's store and website is up and running. You can purchase your books, Josh the Guard, the Little Guard at the Gate. His website is up and running, and he has a book that God has blessed my younger sister to write. And I've also, along with the book, there is a coloring book. There's a puzzle. There's a variety of T-shirts, and he even has a little pillow that the little kids like to wear, the T-shirts, and they let them carry a little pillow around with them everywhere they go with his picture on it. And he even have a little theme song when you go to the website that you can listen to the thing. Excuse me, to the theme song. But our store is up and running. So if you have children between the ages of 3 to 8 years old, if you are a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, uncle or aunt, if you have little children in your life and you want to be a blessing to them, go to my sister's website. It's www.joshtheguard.com. Once again, that's www.joshtheguard.com. And her book, The Little's Guard at the Gate, and also her other children's book, The Best of Joy, they are both now available at Amazon.com. So those are the announcements for tonight, and we're getting ready to go to our music break. And when we come back from the music break, I pray again that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the Sunday School Superintendent, Deacon Edward Blakely. Again, he is the Sunday School Superintendent at the Morning Star Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and where I serve as the musician there. So he will be bringing forth God's word very shortly after following the music break. So have your Bibles ready because we will be back with you very shortly after this music break. Enjoy the music break, please. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That was the musical version of Praise for Me. The Word of God said the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. And that's why it's so important that the saints of God, the body of Christ, that we continue to lift each other up in prayer. And we thank God that Jesus Christ himself, he even prayed for us. Thank God for our mothers, even though they may be going on with the Lord, to be with the Lord, such as my mother and others that have mothers that have gone on to be with the Lord, has prayed for us. And we even have pastors that are praying for us and looking out for our souls. So thank God for prayer. It's essential. It's vital. It's very necessary that we continue to lift each other up in prayer. Before I bring on Deacon Edward Blakely to deliver God's word, I want to give a shout out to my pastor and Bishop James A. Jennings, the pastor and shepherd of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, and also to my church family. I want to give a shout out to him and to my church family. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Edward Blakely. Deacon Edward Blakely, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I'm going to be reading this evening from Proverbs chapter 3. The title of this message tonight is Where'd You Get Your Home Training From? Who home trained you? And we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to go probably to 9, maybe 10. And then we're going to try to, just break down each verse. This message from Proverbs is about trusting in the Lord, about trusting in who home trained you. Who are you home trained by? I mean, where did you learn what you know? How did you get it? We raise our kids up and we call that home training, so that they, when they go out into the world, they know how to treat people properly. They know how to govern themselves. They know how to conduct themselves, and they know how to act in such a way that they don't dishonor their mother and their fathers. They take this training that they've gotten from this training and the values that they've gotten from their parents, and they take them into the world, and they trust what their parents have taught them will help them to succeed. So I'm going to start here in verse 1. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. And by the way, I'm reading from NLT, but almost every version, it the words might be slightly different, but they all coincide with each other. So let's start again from verse 1. My child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart, If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfied. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people. And you will earn a good reputation. Let's just take that from verse 1. I'm going to go down, probably down to verse 10, but let's just kind of break this first four verses and sort of, you know, dissemble them, you know, and try to figure out what is being said here. This is like a father talking to his child. God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become part of God's family. We move from the house we used to live in, and now we live in God's house, and we're being raised by God. I'm being raised and taught his ways. When I hear the preached word, when I read the written word, it's God talking to me. He's training me up in the way that I should go. I know I'm an adult, but God said, come to me like children, and he'll raise us up. He'll teach us and raise us up. So look, we'll start with one. My child, never forget. Never forget. Never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years. To be obedient to parents, raise their children in such a way that when they go out into the world, that they can be a blessing to other people. God's raising us all as believers. He's raising up us in his house where he's the father, and he's raising us up so that when we go out in the world, that we know how to properly treat other people. His people, even the unbelievers, they are still his creation. They're just as much his creation as we are. And we need to know how to respect his creation. And we need to know how to honor him. So these things that he tells us from his written word, his preached word, and even from a rhema word that God may drop into your spirit, that these are all things that we need to be successful at what God has called us to. God has called us, each and every one of us, to a thing, and he's raising all his children up in the way that they should go. He's setting a pathway. I mean, there's a path set for us, and he's raising us to go out on that path and do what he's purposed us to do. So therefore, we need to remember his command. And, you know, we're all human beings. I mean, you know, I have to speak for myself. Sometimes it's hard for me to just keep things in my mind, especially when I read a verse or I hear a preach word. It's hard for me to just keep that in my head. I know many times a lot of people will say, well, you know, preacher preached a really good word. Pastor preached a really good word today. And then when you leave the church, then suddenly it's gone because it didn't settle in the heart. It didn't settle on the heart. Because when something settles on the heart, it's permanent. It stays because then you start to do what's in your heart. There's a scripture that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. You do what you are. You don't, when something is written on your heart, you tend to do it. And when you do a thing, it becomes your lifestyle. It becomes how your life is. if you pray daily, if you read the scripture daily, that becomes part of you, of what you do. You know, I take that it like when I first learned to drive, I learned to drive on a stick shift car, you know, and you had to shift your gears, pedal and your gas pedal, and it was kind of difficult for me to get all that in my head at one time, you know, and I always had to look down to see. I was really a young guy, maybe I wasn't even really old enough to drive, but I looked down and see if I make sure I got my foot on the brake pedal or the clutch or the gas. But then after a while of me doing that and doing that and doing that, I no longer needed to look down to see where my pedals were. I knew in my heart, because it became part of me, just doing that, the clutching and accelerating and shifting and clutching and accelerating. And it just becomes a part. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to drive a stick because there's too much to do. But if you do a thing and you do a thing and you do a thing, it becomes part. It becomes written on your heart. Even though, you know, we may have messed up and in life somewhere before coming to Christ, you know, we still have a heart that God wants to write on. And like David, when in the Psalms, David asked God to give him a new heart, make him a clean heart, make him a new spirit, a fresh one, so that he could write on it and have a second chance, so he can write God's word on his heart, so then it would be more surely that he would do and keep God's commandments, keep God's values, keep God's word. He wanted it written on his heart, but he wanted it written on a clean heart. And two, if you do these things, there goes that word do. I want to get that word. If you do these things, if you do the word of God, not only remember it, learn it, and remember it, but if you do the word of God, you will live many years. And your life will be satisfying. Because sometimes living many years could be a curse if life is not satisfying. So it's both. You will live a long life and you will live a peaceful life. And then we go, and you will live a long life, and life will be satisfying. Three, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Don't ever forget that. Me, I personally look at it like this. I'll never forget how kind and merciful God has been to me. I'll never forget how loyal God has been to me. So I'll never let that leave me. That's on my heart. I want to write that on my heart. So I'll always remember that God has been kind to me. So when I encounter another person, another one of God's creation, I know that I have to be kind to them. I have to treat them. I have to know how to treat them. And how I know is how my father treated me in his house when he was raising me. He treated me with loyalty to me and kindness to me. So I want to take that what he taught me in his house. My father taught me in his house. He taught me loyalty and kindness. So I'm going to take that, and so that I don't forget it, I'm going to tie it around my neck as a reminder, like wearing a bracelet around my neck to remind me that I'm to be kind to others. Even when others upset me, I should be kind to them. I should be loyal to my friends, and I should be loyal to the teachings of my father. I should be loyal to my father's house. I should be loyal to the family of God. I belong to the family of God. We belong to the family of God, and we should be loyal to each other and kind to each other. That's one of his commandments that he taught us in his house while he's raising us up in his house. Four, then you will find favor with both God and people. Some versions say both God and man. When we do the word of God, when we do what we've been taught in our Father's house, we will find favor with God and with people, with the people who are around us. If we treat them with kindness and if we do these things that God taught us, that God has raised us up to do, then when we go out in the world, we will find favor with people. People will know that you are from a different house, and the house you are from is where maybe they think they would want to be raised up in. They want to be raised up in that same family, and then they would be maybe more willing to join this family. And that, to me, that's honoring God. That's honoring the Father. That's honoring the Father with your obedience. And you will earn a good reputation. You will earn a good reputation. If you are a good person and you're doing these things that God has instructed us as his children in his house while he's raising us up to go out and become what he's purposed us for, then we will gain a good reputation. Most people seek a good reputation. I know I want people not so much to like me. I want people to know that I'm a good person. I want people to know that I'm a godly person. I do things because I'm raised up this way. I'm raised up. I wasn't raised all my life in God's house. I was raised in another house. And my father, my earthly father, he had his ways and his rules and his things that I, you know, while growing up in his house, I did pay attention to and I conformed to. But I knew I was born again. Once I was born again, I have another father. I have another family. I'm from another household. And I have to not just conform to that. I have to be loyal to that. I have to become that part of that family. So 5, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is the phrase right here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in his teaching. Trust in what his values are. Trust in everything that he gave you. Never forget the things I've taught you. Trust in the things that he's taught you. Do not depend on your own understanding. Because when we are taught things in our Father's house, we are taught certain things. We are taught we are a different kind of people. We're now a different kind of people. We're born again. And we're watching ourselves grow up in God's house. Even as adults, we are watching ourselves grow up. We are being trained and raised up to be a representative, a family that represents God, that represents our Father, whose house we are raised up in. We are examples. So we're not to depend on our understanding, because once we leave out of our Father's house and we start to depend on our own understanding, our own understanding will get mixed with the world's understanding. And we will be drawn away from all the teaching that we've been taught, that we've been raised up to know. So we must trust in the Lord. Trust in his teaching with all our heart and do not depend on our own understanding. And we should seek his will in all that we do, so that when we leave his house and we go out into the world, we should seek his will. Whatever I decide that I want to do, I want to seek God first. I want to call home and say, Father, I want to do this. What do you think? What is your will? What would you have me do? And I want to seek my Father's will for everything that I will want to do. Seek his will in all that you do. And he will show you which path to take. He will always be there to show you that this is right and this is wrong and this is right. And take this path, not that one. He will always be there because he's loyal. Just as we are loyal to him, he's loyal to us. He will always care for us when we seek him. When we seek him first, when we seek him first for whatever it is, seek him first, and every good thing will be added to you. His will is good for you, so his will will be added to you. His path, he will give you a path to take. 7, verse 7. Do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, turn away from evil. That's a good one for me. Pastor Tillman always says, I wish I knew now. I wish I knew then what I know now. I wish I knew then that I wasn't wise. With a lot of decisions that I made, I thought they were wise at the time, but they turned out not to be so wise. Do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil. I was raised in my earthly father's house. And, you know, when I got a little older and started being independent and going out and doing things, meeting new friends and hanging, people who weren't raised with my father's values, wasn't taught with my father's, you know, the do's and don'ts. And then when I became involved with those friends, and they would say they were going to do things that I would not do because I know my father. My father, and they would ask me, you know, well, you know, they wouldn't ask me. They would tell me, well, you chicken. You just don't want to do it because you're scared. You're scared you might get arrested. You're scared that this might happen. I said, I'm not scared of that. I'm scared of my father. I'm scared of my daddy. That's who I fear. I don't fear getting caught. I fear what's going to happen when my daddy finds out. But this is not that kind of, not exactly that kind of fear, but I just want to throw that out as an example that I would fear my father, what his response would be, because I already know what his rules are. In other words, my father didn't smoke, and he detested people who smoked cigarettes. But when I was like 15 or 16, I started smoking cigarettes, and I would sneak around. But I would never let my father see me smoke a cigarette. Even after I got grown, I wouldn't let my father see me smoke a cigarette because I didn't want to, you know, upset him. So with this verse 7, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. The kind of fear, that respect for him, respect for the things he taught you, the things he raised you up to do or not do. Respect that. And don't think you're wiser than him. I can smoke cigarettes. This won't have, you know. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from that evil thing. 8, verse 8. Then you will have healing. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Healing for your body. You will have health. You will live a healthy life. Your life will be healthy. When I read that, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. I tend to think maybe this is not exactly a guarantee or a promise, but it's one of those things that if you do this, the likely result is that you will be stronger. You will be healthier. I don't know, but, you know, sometimes you may observe people who are maybe not as old as you are, and they have all kinds of, you know, physical things. They're still, you know, active people, but they have all kinds of things wrong in their bodies, and they're on all kinds of medications and things like that. Not that those things are bad, but maybe perhaps they feared, if they had a little more fear for the Lord and turned away from the evil thing that they may have, that may have brought these conditions on. You know what I'm saying? I drank a lot of years for, you know, and smoked cigarettes for a lot of years. I drank heavily, and I smoked cigarettes a lot of years heavily. And it has taken away something, you know, from me. I would probably be healthier if I hadn't done that. I don't do that now. It's been 12 years since I've smoked or drank. But I tend to think that maybe I would possibly, I'm sure I would be healthier. My body would be in better shape. And I would have my strength. You know, I thank God for the strength that I have. And I thank God for the health that I have. I'm so grateful that all the things that I did to my own body over the years, that I'm not dead yet. So I'm sure that I would be stronger and that I would be in better health if I hadn't treated my body the way I did a lot of years. And verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And with the best part of everything that you produce. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. I look at this two ways. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. If I'm raised up in my father's house and my father taught me all these things to make me wise enough to be successful in life, then I should honor him with whatever wealth, whatever I produce. It's because of him. It's because of him. It's because of what he's taught me and what he's raised me up to be. So I look at it two different ways. There's honoring the Lord with your wealth by tithes and offering to the church. That's one side of it. And a very, very important side of it. The church needs to be supported. And it has to be supported by, the world won't support it. The world shouldn't support the church. The congregation should support the church. So if the congregants are blessed with work, with income, with that, with things like that, we should honor the Lord with our wealth through tithes and offerings. And with the best of everything that we produce. Everything that we produce, we should give God the first and the best. And also, honoring God with your wealth could also mean that because God has stood me upright, got straightened my life out, and got me standing upright, and now I can, you know, produce, and I can have some wealth. Talking about rich, I'm talking about, you know, just have income, you know, and I thank God for that. I thank God for the strength that I have, getting back to what really is the health and the strength that I do have, that I can work, that I can be productive, that I can produce. And then I'll honor God with that, not only but through my tithes and offerings, but how I share my wealth with others.
Mm-hmm.
Some
right.
generosity, you know. Yes. Have I gone on too long?
No, go ahead. I'm just agreeing with you,
oh.
That's all.
Yeah, okay. By honoring the Lord with your lifestyle, the way you treat other people, getting back to what the verses said earlier, never letting loyalty and kindness leave you. Write them deeply in your heart, deep within your heart. Where was that? If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Then will you find favor with other people, earned a good reputation. That's earning that good reputation is when people look at you and say, that's a man or that's a woman of God. I know it by the things she do. I know it by the things he or she does. That's a person of God. Then you establish a good reputation. And most people, when they see a person of good reputation, they want to sort of, what do you call it? They sort of want to imitate or emulate what you do because they see that you have good reputation. You're not a liar. You're not a thief. And you're very productive and you're generous and you're kind to them. You're kind to others. And then that reflects on where you got your home training. That reflects on who is your father? Who are your parents? Who trained you? Who raised you up? This is a good person. This is a good individual. Who raised them up? Have you ever watched some young kids or young people and you wonder, God, what household did they – who are their parents? What household were they raised in? You know, because you think about that. And the opposite is true. When you see very mannerable, well-trained, well-mannered young people, and you don't ask that question. You know they got some God, and there's some God training in them. God, they've been raised up. They've been raised up maybe in the church. Their parents took them to church, or the parents, you know, instilled in them some godly values. So they are of good reputation. And people will want to emulate that. And they will see. They will see that. And then that in that way, you honor God with your wealth. I got to kind of scramble up here, but I got to get away from honoring God with your wealth. It's what you do with your wealth. What kind of person do you become? Some people get money and they act, you know, the song is, when people get money and they act real funny, you know, but some people get money and they just turn, you know, almost deadly because they start to just strive for nothing but money. All they want is more and more and more, and greed starts to take over. That's not honoring God with your wealth. It's how you, what does money do with your lifestyle? Is money turning into your God? But if people look at you and they say, well, he's a pretty, or she's a pretty, fairly, you know, well-to-do, wealthy person, and she or he glorifies God with his or her actions, she or he, they just examples, they are examples of someone who's raised in God's house. I want to be raised in God's house. You know, and they would want to do that. And honoring that in your actions, you are honoring your father, because you have other people looking at you and then looking at where you come from, looking at where the house you come from. God is my father. Kingdom of heaven is my home. I'm not a resident of the earth. I'm just working here for my father. I'm working in my father's behalf. But my father had to raise me up first to do what he purposed me for. Because someday I'm going home. Someday we're all going home. But we have to do the work here first. And to do the work here first, we have to be able to trust what God has trained us up to do. We have to be trust in how he trained us. We have to trust in his commands. We have to trust in his ways. We have to trust that he knows. Not only is his word wise, his word is wisdom that makes us wise and able to do his will. Sometimes we find it so hard to do God's will. We want to and want to and want to. But if we trust in God, if we trust in the Lord, if we trust that he knows best. He is our Father. He knows best. And what he raised up and instilled in us is what we should exhibit in the world. Jesus said it, you know, go out and make more disciples. That's our mission. But we can't make disciples if we haven't been disciples. We can't raise up other people if we haven't been raised up ourselves. I did a video and I posted it on Facebook, and because one day I come home from church and I was just sitting there thinking, you know, and I was thinking about how I've been born again. When I'm just starting to get on this journey that God has put me on. And I just started thinking, I'm being raised up. I am being raised up. I'm like a child being raised up. And I'm watching myself grow up. This is really God raising me. And he's teaching me with his word. He's teaching me with the preached word. When I attend church and I hear pastor preach or some of the preachers that pastor bring in to bring a message to us, and I hear that preached word and my heart is opened up. My heart is opened up to that word. And when my heart is opened up, even if I might think that particular word is not for me, but when my heart is opened up, it gives God a chance to drop a rhema word in my heart, drop a something in my spirit that he wants me to know and that he wants me to understand. And it's his teaching. It is the same teaching that he wants me not to ever forget. Shall never forget the things I've taught you. And when I'm reading the Word of God, when we're reading the Word of God and we're truly seeking understanding, as Solomon did, he asked for understanding. He asked for wisdom, which is understanding in a way, you know. He dropped something in him. He gave him something. So while we're reading the Word of God, our hearts are open to God. So we get the written word, we get the preached word, and we get the rhema word, the word that God drops in our spirits, and we'll never forget. When it's on your heart, you will never forget it, because you will do the word. Doing the word is obeying the word. We are often here, be not just hearers, but be doers. be doers. That's how we get trained up. I remember a long time ago, we were kids, young kids, we were 14, 15, and we decided to start a little singing group. It was four of us, a little quartet. And there was a guy named Clyde. He lived down the street from me. He was a guitar player. And we used to sing, you know, but we never could get it right. We could never have that harmony right, and we never sounded just right. And Clyde was listening to us one day, and he said, you know what's wrong with you guys? He said, you guys don't rehearse enough. You don't practice enough. And so we took his advice. He said, start practicing like at least 2-3 times a week. Together, y'all get together and practice. And so we did. We took his word. And we started to do that. And it still didn't seem right. And then one day, we were all over my brother's house singing in the backyard. We had a barbecue going. And one day we started singing, and everything just started to click. Everything was just right because of what he said. We trusted what he said, what Clyde said, because he knew. He knew. He had been out there. He's a musician. He'd been out there. He's been working in that field, and he knows. And we trusted. And when we trusted the words that he said, not only heard what he said, but we did what he said, and it came to pass. What he said would come to pass came to pass. This is what God said. Don't. My child, never forget the things. It's so important that we never forget the things that he has taught us. Some of us have been on this journey for a long, long time, and some of us have been on it for a short while. But it doesn't matter. As long as we're all from the same family with the same father, we have the same father, and his ways, his commandments, his values, his precepts, and his everything that he teaches us and raises us up is part of the family, to being the family of God. I'm so glad to be in the family of God. I just thank God every day that he allowed me a second chance to clean my heart so he can write his instructions on my heart, so I can write his instructions on my heart so that I can never forget again. I can never forget because they become part of me. They become what I do, not just what I know. They become part of what I do. And when you do a thing, you become that. You can take it. If you notice professional people, you take professional people, say police officers. They all have a certain way they act. Firefighters, they all act a certain way. Military people, they all act a certain way. Teachers, they all act a certain way. They all have this thing about them, and you can tell that they're from that family or that group. Sometimes you might miss it, but most of the time, if you talk to somebody out of a certain profession, well-known profession, that you would glean that this person is a teacher or this person is a preacher or this person is a, you know, you get that. And if you do the word of God, other people will get that. If you're obedient to what God is raising you up to and teaching you in his house while you're living in his house, if you are obedient, and obedience simply means doing, being a doer of what he says, a doer of his word, being a doer, being obedient to what he says, seeing what he says and applying it to every single day of your life, just applying it, then you become a doer.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Blakely. I didn't mean to cut you off, but our time is up already. But that was a powerful word on tonight. You have really blessed my soul on tonight. You really allowed the Lord to use you to express and deliver his word on tonight. And I know this word has been received by every listener on tonight. And we should all be Amen. The better for your teaching as the Lord led and guided you through his word and gave you what to give to the people that was listening in on tonight. that we can all benefit from this word and this teaching, and most of all, that God is getting the glory from this teaching on tonight through you. So you continue to be the man that God has called you to be. You continue to stand on his word, continue to be the doer of his word that you are. And I just thank you for this word because it enlightened me on tonight that we serve an awesome God, and that I can't add nothing else to what you said because it spoke for itself. So we just give God the glory for this. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Once again, thank you, Deacon Blakely, for delivering God's word on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your man of God who has delivered your word on tonight as you led and guided him on tonight over the airways, over this worldwide platform that you used him on tonight to deliver your word to your people. You know who was going to be listening, what we needed to hear. So we ask that you would continue to bless your people all over the land, that we would continue to be doers of your word and not just hearers only, that you would get the glory through each one of our lives as individuals and then as a corporate body of believers, that you would get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, listen to know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Until then, know that, again, I love you. God loves you even more. Good night.
Child.